Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What's up, Hoop Dreams fan and Hoop Dream Nation? Listen, we got a special one for you today, man. I have a young man on the show that is doing some incredible things. I mean, when I'm talking about incredible things, you have no idea. At the age that he is at, the things that he has already accomplished, and he is just getting started. Today on the Hoop Dreams podcast, we have our first track and field guest. He was named second team All-American, just graduated from the Auburn University. That's right. Congratulations on that one. And here's the other thing that blows my mind. Again, young man, over 100,000 plus followers on Instagram, over 73 followers on TikTok, born and raised in, how they say it, Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile.
Alabama, played football and basketball as a kid, just simply a star. Not a star in the making, a star. Has been doing this for a while. We want to welcome to the show none other than our special guest for today, Mr. Dontavius Hill. Dontavius, welcome to the show, man. We're so glad to have you on the Hoop Dreams podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate that introduction.
Man, my pleasure. Typically, how we start the show is, you know, we always ask our guests, have you seen the movie Hoop Dreams? But of course, I'm thinking that, you know, you're a little younger. I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch the movie yet, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Have you seen the movie Hoop Dreams?
No, I have not.
That's all right. I ain't going to hold that against you. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. No. Well, man, listen, when you get an opportunity, check it out, because I think there is so much in common, even with what you're doing in your particular sport and field. But listen, let's jump into this interview, man. Tell us, who is Dontavius Hill?
Dontavius Hill. So I'm an influencer, motivator, speaker, content creator, track and field athlete, son, brother, mentor, athlete. I'm all these things. And one thing I like to say, I am a high jumper, but high jump is not what I do. Well, high jump is what I do, but not who I am. I am so many different things, so I try to embrace that.
I like that. Break that down for me a little bit, because typically athletes, especially ones who have achieved certain levels, amount of success at a young age, how do you distinguish the difference in that when you say, you know, high jumping is what I do, but it's not who I am? Especially as you were coming up, I'm sure the mentality is you need to be this. How do you distinguish right. The two?
So I learned to distinguish it when I realized the negative effect it would have on my mental, my being, you know, when it comes to any sport. Because I played football, basketball, and ran track growing up. So if I wasn't performing, I would feel like I was less than, you know. And I had to separate myself and understand, this is you as the athlete. When you go home, you're a son, you're a brother, you're all these different things. And if you don't separate the two and you just feel less than because of your sports performance, that can be detrimental to how you feel about yourself. So when I got to college, I learned over the years as I got better to not place my entire identity in my sport.
Man, I'm telling you, there's a maturity there that is just beyond your age. Tell me, who got you into athletics as a young kid?
So I started playing football when I was about 4 years old. My parents took me and my older brother. He's a year older than me. We just started playing football at the park, and we probably didn't start playing basketball maybe until about middle school. My brother was playing basketball and so on. But I was always a football player growing up, and my folks really got me into that.
I can only imagine the battles between you and your brother. Man, tell us about some of those, man. Like, what I'm really asking you is, how many times were y'all fighting each other? Because I know there were some fights on the field.
Oh, yeah, all the time. So the crazy thing is, like, me and my brother, we were 1 year apart, but he's always been significantly bigger than me growing up. So I was like 5'5" and he was like 6'1", 6'2", you know. So we've always had this rivalry of me trying to, you know, chase his greatness or trying to get to where he is because he was a little bit bigger. But I've always had the heart to try to stay in the fight and never giving up and all those things. And we both ended up having some successful careers, but it was a lot of headbutting along the way. You know, he ended up playing football at University of Massachusetts in Amherst. You know, he was a wide receiver up there for 5 years, and I had my career at Auburn. So we both ended up making it.
That's all right, man. Shout out. What's your brother's name?
Melvin Hill.
Hey, shout out to big brother Melvin Hill. I want to transition into this because you were playing football, basketball. How did track, how did that love begin to develop?
So, like I said, I played football. Now, I really started playing basketball in the 9th grade, you know. And in all my sports, I was never the guy. I was never good enough to be the guy. Okay. You know, whether it was just I wasn't big enough, I didn't put enough work. But when track season came around, you know, that was my opportunity to be an individual in all the work that I did on my own with show, you know. And when I first started doing track, I wasn't good at all. Like, I was high jumping like 4'8" in the 9th grade, you know. Like, I like to tell people my first competition, it was a co-ed meet. So I went up against girls in the competition and I lost to girls, you know. And just over the years, I got better and better. But that love for track came from finally being able to show what I had without anybody getting in my way.
Now, you're gonna have to break some of that down because you said you jumped 4'9". Now, to me, that means 4'9". That ain't a small jump. So what's the difference? Give me some education on that.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a little education. So in high school, let's say a good jump in high school that could win state in a lot of states is about 6'4", 6'6", you know, depending on division. So you jumping 4'8" in high school, that's girls in high school are jumping that high is what I'm trying to tell you.
Wow.
The best girls in high school can probably jump about 6 feet. Anywhere between 5'8" to 6'. So that should just tell you how low that is.
Gotcha.
High school wise.
Gotcha. No. You schooled me, man. You schooled me, no doubt about it. So clearly you figured it out. And you began to get better at your game, get better at your craft, get better your skill set, get incredibly next level. My question for you right now is, how did the other sports help you in your track and field?
I would say the other sports, they taught me more about teamwork. Mm-hmm. You know, with football, it's a team sport. You know, everybody can't touch the ball every play. Basketball, you know, everybody got their own roles. You know, you might be a shooter, you might be slashing, you might be the point guard, you got to pass the ball. And all those different aspects, you know, helped me be greater in track, because when it came to track, even though it was individual, I had people counting on me to do well. Mm-hmm. You know, I had teammates I needed to earn points for in competition, you know. So the expectation was, oh, Dontavius, he's going to win the high jump, you know. Mm-hmm. He's going to get us 10 points here to win state. You know, that was the expectation. So I was never expected to lose. And I would say that aspect of teamwork I got from the other sports allowed me to continue to be a team player, even in the individual sport.
I'm liking that, man. First of all, I just want to say, man, you're so well-spoken. I mean, you're just on it. I'm loving everything I'm hearing from you. Now, I got to ask you this, man, because you're an athlete. When we were coming up, I ran and played and jumped and did all those different things. And we played a little baseball. We played a little football. How did that transition happen from track within the track and field for you to focus specifically on high jumping? How was it the coach? Was it your parents? Or was it just you?
It was my older brother. Mm. So when I was in the 8th grade, like, I saw him do high jump because he had hops. He could dunk, you know, and I think in middle school. So he did the high jump his 9th grade year. I was in 8th grade, so still in middle school watching. And he went to the state championship, and I believe he got like 2nd place. He was jumping like 6'4". And I was like, I want to do that when I get to high school, you know, because we didn't really have it. So the next year, that's when I did it. He was still doing it on the varsity in 10th grade, and I was in 9th grade. So that's when I only got to compete in that one competition, and I jumped 4.8. So it all started with my older brother. And my freshman year, I jumped 4.8.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Went 5'10 the next year, 6'3 the next year, then 7 feet and broke the school record, which he held. And that's when I went to Auburn.
Ooh, I know he ain't like that, did he? He was like, whoa, 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 what's going on with this?
Man. He didn't expect it either. But he was happy for me at the end of the day because I finally got to hold my own.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's interesting, man, that to hear that. And I want to just, because I'm liking this thing between you and your brother, because it's almost seems like he drove you to your greatness, that he pushed you into your greatness. What were some of the things, and I'm really glad we're going to talk a little bit about this. What were some of the things that you saw in your brother that inspired you?
I would say complete dominance. You know, my brother was usually a bigger kid than everybody. He played soccer too. He was the biggest kid on the soccer field. You know, biggest kid, one of the biggest kids on the football field. Just dominating people. I'm talking, he was a wide receiver, but he used to block people to the ground, catch balls over people's heads, you know, on the basketball court, dunking over people, throwing people around. And it's like me, I was always smaller and like just a little bit more skinny and stuff like that. And I'm just like, dang, man, he dominating out there. I want to dominate, you know? And I physically couldn't dominate like that. I just ain't have those physical capabilities. But when I was able to get on that track, I could really showcase what I could do, and I would dominate in that way, you know. And I consider myself dominating even before I started winning, because I was making it look so good. Even though I was getting beat by people, I was jumping 5'10", 5'11", 6 feet. They're like, oh, he got some pretty technique. Oh, he looked good going over that bar. And that never changed from 4'8 to 7'4". They're like, oh, you got some pretty technique. That was my way of dominating. I learned that from my brother.
First of all, that's incredible. The leap that you had taken. Now, you gotta have to educate me again too, because I'm very familiar with the recruiting process from high school to college, probably just about every sport except for your sport. What is that recruiting process like?
So track and field, honestly, you have to be one of the best to go to the top schools, you know. Because with track and field, the scholarship system is a little different. They don't just give everybody full rides. Mm. Track and field, I believe the men's and the women's team have about 12 to 14 scholarships to give out. So keep in mind, it's about maybe 40 to 50 people on the team.
Oh, wow.
So only your cream of the crop athletes are going to have that full ride, and everybody else going to be on 50%, 20% partial or nothing. You're walking, wow. You know. So that's how track and field works. And when it comes to getting recruited, you have to be either one of the top in the state or top in the nation to get those top tier scholarships.
Man, I did not know that. So you mean to tell me there's 40 people on the team and only 12 to 14 are on full athletic scholarships?
Less than that.
Less than that,
because they have to split those 12. What I'm telling you is
split the 12. Wow. And where did you fit in on that?
So as a freshman, I came in, I was pretty much a walk-on. So even though I was one of the top in the nation, top in the state, I got recruited late. And I took what I could get, and I wanted to be in the SEC.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
I was a walk-on, pretty much. Let's just say that I was on a book scholarship, and I had to earn my way up throughout the years. Because, you know, as seniors graduate or the top athletes graduate, that scholarship is given to somebody else, or they spread it out differently. So I earned mine over the years.
Gotcha. And so now I'm going to ask, how did you choose Auburn? Because, again, I understand, like, that when I went through the recruiting process, I broke – you know, 20 schools down to 5 schools, then the 3 schools, then the 1 school. And I know you said you got recruited late, but were there other schools recruiting you besides the SEC school?
Yes, so I got recruited by NCCU, North Carolina Central University, is a HBCU. Also, what other schools? An NAIA school recruited me and another SEC school recruited me. So
gotcha.
I was I chose Auburn because I was from Alabama. And it was close to home. I knew it, you know, but I grew up an Alabama fan, so I wanted to go to Alabama, but I didn't ever get the Alabama scholarship.
Interesting, because you know I was coming with that question. I was coming with that. Were you Bama or were you a Tiger? You know I was going to ask.
I'm a Tiger now.
You're
for
Tiger
sure.
Now, huh?
You know, I'm a Tiger now, but I grew up that way because football was such a dominant sport in Alabama, but I never got those looks from Alabama that I wanted, so I went to the rival school because they wanted me, and I'm a Tiger for life. So
war gotcha. Eagle. What's the household? Household Tigers?
No, sir. They still roll tie.
They still roll tie. Even though the baby boy is a Tiger, they still roll tie.
Yeah, they roll tie. They love me, though. You know, they wore the Auburn gear to the meets and stuff, but they still roll tie.
That's it. So they only break it out. When necessary. Right. I feel you. So talk to me, because I don't again, man, you're not only gonna educate our guests, and some may know this too, but how do you guys practice? Like, how do you practice? How do you train for something and for high jumping or for running? How do you train for that?
Right. So I like to say there's 3 different aspects to it. We have to lift weights. So in my event, we doing explosive lifts, power cleans, squats, you know, all kinds of cleans. And we also have to hit the track. We got to run. We got to build a foundation up under us. We got to sprint, you know, like short sprints, 40 meters, 50 meters, even 120s up to 150s, building our foundation, you know. And the final category, I would say, is your flexibility and your mobility, you know, being able to move, you know. And that's something I've always struggled with, but that's pretty much how we train.
Man, that's interesting. Like, is it, but also in that training, I mean, are you, I mean, like, how do you set the goal? Like for us, you know, when we're shooting, we can say, okay, I put up 1,000 shots today. I put up 500 free throws. Like when you go on the field, is there a mentality that you take with you, say, okay, this is what I'm going to accomplish? And if so, what is that?
So it's mostly technical.
Okay.
You know, with a sport like track and field, it's not a certain thing you can do and say, yeah, I did this amount of it to an extent. Because in track, it's like you run too many sprints, your body going to break down.
Mm.
I go out there, jump over that pole too many times, my body going to break down. So it's more of really having quality reps and critiquing them reps with your coach and looking at every little piece. You need to do this better, and trying to get better every second, every rep. And when you run out of reps, you got to move on to the next day. And that's the people that get the best are the people who can critique themselves the best and who have a good coach who can help them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. First of all, I just want to say this, that extremely proud of you. I'm going to let our audience know why I'm saying I'm proud of you. As, you know, a young African-American man, we always talk about hoop dreams. And what we mean by that is that we're really talking about the dream itself. And you have an ultimate dream. You're getting ready and you're training for the 2024 Olympics. What is that like? What is that like for you? Just the fact that you are in contention for that.
It's a great feeling, you know. Up to this point, I've made 3 USA teams, you know.
Wow.
But none of them were Olympic teams.
Okay.
You know, I've had the experience at Auburn. I've been a 5-time All-American. I've won 4 SEC medals.
Wow.
You know, I've been able to achieve these things, but I have yet to make an Olympic team. You know, I mean, part of that is it's only every 4 years.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
But like I said, being able to participate on these past three USA teams, I've experienced the international stage. So when it comes to training, really just understanding where I am, you know, my best right now is 7.4 1/4, which is 2.24 meters. And to make the team, I need to be jumping about 7.6, 7.7.
Okay.
So me knowing I have to get about 2 inches to 3 inches on my jump, you know, it really makes me lock in on the weights and the training.
First of all, just to hear the fact that you literally can jump over somebody's head. I'm just saying, man, that's just incredible. Have you paused yet and just said, man, this is a possibility? Like, has that hit you yet? Or you still just so focused on making it, you have not had an opportunity to pause yet?
Definitely, you know, because, you know, I just graduated college. So me thinking about my future, you know, it's like Olympics is 6 months from my graduation. So it's like, what are you going to do? Are you finna go straight into training hard? Or are you finna try to utilize your degree and get into the workspace? You know, all this stuff been going through my mind. So recently I just decided to focus all in on just this because it really hit me. Like, I have an opportunity right here. You know, I'm number 4 right now. Number 4 in the U.S. right now, I believe number 43 in the world. The top 3 go to the Olympics from the U.S., and I'm number 4, so I got to log in.
Wow. First of all, again, man, congratulations. That's big time. Sir. Can you also explain to our viewers a bit how the various meets work, too? I wanted to ask you that earlier, but I also wanted to get into your Olympic spirit experience because that is just incredible in itself. But I didn't want to miss this aspect of what you do. But can you explain to our audience how the different meets work in college and how schools eventually crown an NCAA champion? Because again, I'm trying to find that connection between my sport and your sport and what's the difference between indoor and outdoor meets. Can you explain a little bit of that?
Right. So indoor season, they take the top 16 marks in the country, and those 16 people go to NCAA championships to compete for that title. You know, and the top 8 in that competition get first team All-American, the bottom 8 get second team All-American. That's how indoor works. Outdoor season, they take the top 48 marks from each region. They put you in East region and West region. And you have to compete at those regional competitions for the top 12 spots. Then they take the top 12 from the East, top 12 from the West, and all of y'all go head to head at the NCAA championship to try to get that trophy. And then once again, 24 competitors this time around instead of 16, top 8 first team, second 8 second team, and the bottom 8 is honorable mention All-American. That's how it works. Man,
that is crazy. So you got a lot on your table. You just graduated college. Obviously, your family is incredibly proud of you. I know they are. Talk to, because again, I want to hit this aspect too. NIL deals. How does that work in your sport?
So I would say it works just like any other sport. A brand that wants to work with you, or you want to work with a brand, you would reach out to them. You know, they would kind of not investigate, but they would just kind of see what your name, image, and likeness is like. Does it align with the brand? Do you have a big enough following and your personality? And then y'all can get into a partnership and potentially work together. You know, in track and field, it's a little bit more difficult because we're not a basketball, we're not a football, you know, or even a softball, baseball type sport. We're track, so it's a little different. So you have to really work a little bit harder to be that guy or be that girl, you know, and to speak on that a little bit more, that was really my goal with my senior year, was to really try to set myself apart so that I could be more marketable for brands. But yeah.
Now, do you have any brands in play with you right now?
Yeah, so I currently do have some brands in play right now, but I'll talk more on deals I've already done.
Okay.
So I did a deal with Nerf.
Yes,
we pretty
sir.
Much had a Nerf ball tournament in IMG Academy out in Florida, which was great. It was a great experience. I've done deals with hair product companies like Miele and more, but I can't think of some of them right now, but yeah.
That's all right, man. Yeah, I wanted you to bring up the Nerf deal, man. That's all right, boy. I'm loving that, man. You alluded to this in your answer. Do you think it's more challenging for track and field star? Because when I think about the track and field stars, clearly, you know, the runners, the long jumpers. Do you think your particular area doesn't get enough attention?
For sure, for sure. When it comes to track, you know, the sprinters are going to be the most popular. The 100, 200, going to be the most popular events, 400, 4x1. When it comes to jumping, you know, jumping doesn't get a whole lot of attention. Like the high jump, the triple jump, or even the long jump, we don't really get that same kind of attention. And that's another thing I've tried to do, like with my platform, is to make high jump cool. You know, before I started like doing what I was doing, I didn't see like a high jump influence or somebody trying to make my sport or my event cool or fun, unless it was somebody from a different country. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But nowadays, people are bringing more emotion into the event and more in the sport, even some of the athletes from the USA, which I love. But I feel like I'm also a trailblazer in that aspect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you've been blazing this trail since you was 12. So for all of our young listeners out there, they got dreams of whatever the sport may be. What's your message to them?
My message is to never give up, you know, and the main thing I would say is to focus on yourself. You know, a lot of us, especially when we're younger, we're looking at the people beside us, you know, even siblings. Like, I'm looking at my brother, like, he's doing this, he's doing that. And when you get outside of yourself and start looking at what everybody else is doing, it's that much harder for you to reach your goals. You know, one thing that helped me stay on track is trying to think about, oh, I'm only jumping 4.8, but that's good for me. I've never done it. I'm only jumping 5.10, but I'm better than I was last year. Next thing you know, I'm jumping 7 feet. Now I'm jumping 7.4, and I was only focusing on myself and not everybody around me. So focus on yourself and don't give up on it.
I love that, man, because that takes a lot of mental focus to do that. Also, for our younger audience out there, can you just share, and I want you to share the reality of this, because my son, he called me the other day, you know, he's playing college ball right now, and he's just like, "Dad, whoo, school, you know, the sport," you know, he's like, man. And of course, if anything goes wrong, it's like an add on, like, you know, he can't compartmentalize that. Okay, this just happened and that sits there. Everything is all in one. Can you tell or share with us, how did you handle the rough days of college life?
Man, it's the people that I got to have in my corner, you know. There's family support at home, but most importantly, my support on campus. You know, I had father figures on campus. I had my mentor, Troy Smith. He was my academic counselor. You know, that's one of my father figures on campus. You know, he played in the NFL. I had my coaches, you know, academic advisors. Those people really kept me afloat, if I'm being honest. I had to really lean on folks to really help me and push me through.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Because me being in a rigorous major like engineering, I've almost failed out of college many a times. every semester I was at risk, you know, but I had to stay afloat because I wanted to run track. I wanted to be there for my team, but yeah, leaning on my support system.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because here's one of the realities that I think that people forget, particularly for athletes. They always think just because we're on scholarship or we're playing a sport that we get like this special treatment or special assistance. And I'm looking like, it's actually a little bit harder, because we got to commit all these hours to our sport. Then you got to commit all the hours to your academics, your studies. Then you got to commit the time to whether they're study groups. And yeah, somewhere in between you got to eat. You know, that's, and then the last aspect of it, you just want to be a regular student. You know, you want to go to the, and particularly where you were at, you know, you're at the University of Auburn. You know, I mean, I can't even imagine game days, whether it was basketball or football, which, by the way, did you get free tickets? Do they give y'all free tickets for those games?
Yes. Yes, we do. Free tickets.
Gotta love it. So in other words, I can go back and look at some video and you're going to be one of the guys with the shirt off, with the painted chest.
Nah, I won't be that, but I'll be in the building.
You said you'll be in the building, huh? I'm loving it. So also I want to ask you too, man, just sticking with that college theme a little bit too. You know, AG and I, we always go here. What's the romance department looking like for a young man like yourself?
I'm currently dating my girlfriend. We've been together for 4.5 years. So I met her at Auburn. You know, we've been together this whole time.
That's all right, man. That's good stuff, man. Well, I want to tell you this. What do they call you for sure? Did you just go by your full name, Dontavious? Or
call me DT.
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 I love it. Yes, sir. I love it. I want to thank you, because there's like a million questions I literally can ask you. But I want to just thank you, man, for being on the show today. I didn't want to miss anything. I wanted to take a moment, an opportunity. If there's something that you wanted to share that I did not ask you, man, I want to give you a moment there, because I think your story is just so incredible. And I think oftentimes people don't give, you know, folks like yourself, man, your flowers. So we want to give you your flowers, man. I understand the hard work that you're putting in. I know your family understands the hard work that you're putting in. But is there anything on your heart that you would like to share with us today?
Yes, sir. So even though I didn't watch the Hoop Dreams movie, I did do some research, you know, and just from reading up on it, I know you guys did face some adversity going through that journey, you know, trying to make it, you know, whether that's family, injuries, all those kinds of things, you know. And I can relate to some of that for sure. And one thing I do want to say, like a lot of youth athletes, because I kind of reach out to the youth to try to support them and mentor them, they always tell me, oh, this is going on, or this is hard, or I don't know how to do this. And one thing I say is life doesn't get easier. We just get stronger, you know, and that's one thing I try to keep as one of my morals in life. Because one thing I've realized as I've gotten older, the more things that come my way, the more I end up being able to handle. You know what I'm saying? Things that I can handle now at 23, I could not handle would have broken me at 18 as a freshman in college. And each year I get stronger and stronger, and we continue to develop. So I say that so that these kids can understand that you're going to make it and you're just going to keep getting better.
You on it, man. You on it. Obviously, you got the Olympics that is right before you. You just graduated college, mechanical engineering. I mean, first of all, that's just right there. But I do think that this is also worth to be asked, what's next? What's the next chapter of your hoop dreams? What's next for you?
The next chapter. I would say my main goal is to continue to get better at track and field. You know, I don't know what my ceiling is, so I'm just going to keep going until I can't go anymore. So I want to make as many USA teams, as many Olympic teams, as many world championship teams as I can. And on that journey, continue to inspire, motivate, and touch the heart of as many youth as I can. You know, that's my end goal.
Powerful, powerful. Listen, Hoop Dreams fans, check this young man out. Let's support him. How can people find you on social medias? Give us your handles so we can turn that over 100,000 to 200,000. How can people find you?
Y'all can follow me on Instagram at Dontavious Hill, TikTok at Dontavious Hill 3, and Twitter at Dontavious Hill 3.
Absolutely. Lovely. Listen, I'm already following him. Y'all follow him. This young man, not only has he done it right, he's doing it right, and he's just getting started. DT, I want to thank you, man, for being on the Hoop Dreams podcast. Man, it's been a pleasure to hang out with you for a little bit, man. And I'm looking forward, man, to seeing you in Paris.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. I really do.
Needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.